Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Let's go to the nation's capital. He is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year and, of course, a key member of the 85 Woof Woof Bears, a junkyard dog forever.
Woof, 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 yeah!
He is Washington head coach Ron Rivera.
Ron, given all of these conversations that you're having with your football team, do you think your football team's name should change?
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, that was always part of football. The name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show, because, or another time with the moment? Because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing. But you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era. That when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me too. Is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. You know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics. You know, while I was coaching, and I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
Everybody exploits the Indians, man. You got Mazzola commercials and F-Troop and the Washington Redskins. Redskins, that's not nice. That ain't cool. That's a racial slur, man. That's kind of like having a New York, okay? Denver, man. Can't have that, man.
Yo! Saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Yes, we are. Mac and Parkins on The Score. Thanks to Ron Rivera for, as always, being a willing guest on yesterday's radio program and making lots of news on this show yesterday. We're on the front page of ESPN.com right now, Mac.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. We are we're controlling the digital world. Tanny alerted me last night to Mike Florio's site. PFT had us featured a couple of stories on their homepage. Ron's thoughts on Cam Newton. Ron's thoughts on the name change. That's what happens when there's no training camp. We should be in training camp, right?
Yes, we should.
No, man, we shouldn't be in training camp. It's June 30th. It's not July 30th. What's the matter with me? What am I talking about? What is it I'm saying?
I don't know, but
Bigger than U.S. Steel.
We're almost getting ready for summer camp, which is what I was thinking about, baseball 2.0. But yeah, we're not quite to where football season should be. I know you're jonesing for it, as am I. I'll take anything at this point. Give me the NBA. Give me Hawks Oilers. Whatever. I'm ready. Let's go.
Well, if you only had a little bit of free time on your hands, I'd go out and give you something to gamble on, and that is your short game versus mine. You could prosper by taking money off me on and around the green. But
Really?
Yeah, I know golf is not something that's really on your radar right now. You're living life, and life's dealt you a few crappy cards. And you're dealing with it great, kid, but you probably don't have any time for golf. I've been bitten by the bug, even though I've been playing like crap. So,
yeah, good for you. You know, I'm trying to get out, occasionally and not nearly as much as I would like, but, you know, it's the only thing that I do right now, with the exception of sometimes parenting Owen, but, like, that is also can be a stressor, right, in terms of whether he's crying or just, like, the weight of responsibility and what world did I bring you into and all of that. But, like, what I love about golf is no matter how bad I am at it, your phone is away, mm-hmm. and you can't really think about the bad stuff that's going on in your life because you're just always, like, it's such a hard game. So you got to focus on the next shot and the next shot and the next shot. So it's weird. Like, you wouldn't think that something that's that challenging would simultaneously be that relaxing, but golf has been that for me. So I try to get out. I'm playing Sunday. Going to get one round in this holiday weekend. Oh, so, yeah, I'm excited about it. I need it, man. Like,
yes, you do.
I need it. Like, I
well, let's
say.
let's make a date. Are
let's
you?
Do it.
Yeah, I. Do you have room for me Sunday, or are you booked?
We are booked with one foursome on Sunday. But I mean, I'm in. We will. I promise. Let's find a time, and I will come down towards you, or vice versa, meet in the middle, or something like that. But it's good to hear that you said you've been bit by the bug, like post shoulder surgery. I'd only heard about one round where you played 17 holes and then hurt for 6 days, and then
Tanya, I couldn't stand up straight, Danny, for 10 days. I had to unfurl when I put my feet on the floor in the morning and got up. It's not getting out of bed; it's like unfolding yourself. It was awful. So I did a little bit of strength. I'm trying to do some spine stretching, spine lengthening exercises. The pool's open. In fact, here's a first world problem for you. Because of the rain yesterday, I had the cover closed on the pool, and it was so damn hot. When it wasn't raining, it was really, really hot and humid, and the water temperature's up near 90 degrees today. So it's not a refresher at all. But I got in it for a little while after doing some yard work today. And did a little work, made 33 of 50 jump shots in the pool. Got to take 50 jumpers a day. I'll take 66%. And he 66% from his distance, 15 feet on a 6.5-foot basket. But yeah, I've been bitten by the bug. I played last Thursday by myself. I was only going to play 9. I got 9 in an hour and 2 minutes, and there's no one in front of me. Yeah, so I'm like, well, and I wasn't rushing. I wasn't taking as much time as I should have. I was just hustling through the round. And so I played a round by myself and shot 97 at Glen Woody last Thursday. Played with buddies at Balmoral Woods Sunday. Got off the tee like a monster, but did nothing with it. As I said on Facebook, and people, some of them got it. I drove it like John Daly, but I hit my irons and putted like John Drury. And people are like, who the hell? John Drury used to be a newsman in Chicago many, many years ago. Mm. And he was old when I was a kid. And he worked behind the camera, in front of the camera, actually, for many, many years. And I think passed away a couple of years ago. Good guy, John Drury. But he wasn't a golfer, so that's the joke. But shot 106, but I want to get at it again. I'm playing with a baseball buddy from high school, Eddie Mack. On Thursday morning, and I may go do it again Friday morning. I may go do it again Sunday morning. It's hot as hell, but I don't care. We're cooped up all winter. We couldn't get out because of the virus for the longest time, and taking advantage of it. If I go shoot 106 again Thursday morning, I'll live with it. I got to do a little bit better on and around the green, but I'm driving the ball well, which is the greatest joy of the game, isn't it? Isn't that the best part of golf?
Oh, yeah, when you get off the tee. Yeah, when you get off the tee and it's long and it's straight, there's just nothing about it, right? It's like, oh, just like before the ball's even landed, you twirl the club a little bit, walk back towards the cart. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, I'll figure it out when I get up there. It's great. And I don't know. It's a stress reliever, man. So we will get out together, I promise. And it's good to hear, though. Like, so what did you do? So you said a little strengthening, a little core strength, a little stretching. And now you're talking about playing rounds in a weekend?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, I think I could get it in. Right. I've been pain-free. Right. I got a shot in my knee last Friday. I got a cortisone injection, first in 18 months. So the right knee is good to go. The back hasn't been hurting. I've been way more active, you know, as the I'm the Roger Bossard of the south end of my gated trailer park. I take a lot of pride in the and speaking of Roger Bossard, he's going to be joining us in about an hour and 20 minutes.
That's true.
I've been doing a ton of yard work, and that just keeps you active, you know, just keep moving, keep the weight off, and just feel good, you know, and don't swing so hard. I've been working on that, not swinging so hard.
That's good. That's good discipline out of you. I'm envious. I'm envious of your life right now, Mac. All these rounds of golf, this yard work, this recreational time. You got all these fishing trips planned. We're hoping that the big summer vacation is going to be driving to Kansas City in a couple of weeks and renting a house to visit extended family at a socially distanced safety spot because cases are kind of spiking over there so that grandparents and et cetera can meet Owen. So Kansas City in late July. Not exactly position A for Kansas City in late July with in-laws and grandparents. It's not exactly the most relaxing vacation that I can imagine, but it is what I've been dealt, so we will make the absolute best of it. You know,
we've been talking about this since our honeymoon.
Yeah, exactly. Not exactly a bucket list trip, but that's okay.
In the sweltering heat.
Yeah, 2020, not the year of the bucket list. Steph was looking at houses to rent, and she's like, I want to find a spot, you know, a good backyard, you know, because we'll be entertaining people and having them over. I'm like, it's going to be 115 degrees. Just make sure that we have air conditioning.
Like,
that's what we're gonna need air conditioning at this house. That is going to be the top priority for any of these gatherings. So, yeah, you know, it's. And I don't want to, like, it's not a pity party. Many people have it worse than me. But, yeah, I'm very jealous of the possibility of three rounds in a 4 or 5 day stretch this holiday weekend. That'll be good. I was thinking of you last night, though, actually. We went out to dinner for the first time since the last week of February. Our anniversary is March 4th, but I was at Score House for our anniversary. So we went to dinner the week before for our anniversary, and then last night was the first time we went out to a restaurant. You know how much we love that. And bone-in ribeye swordfish. Oh my god. It was probably only my third or fourth time having swordfish in my life. I had never had it like sliced off the bone, like presented in that way.
I've never seen it that way.
Oh my god, Mac.
Wow.
So good. Like, so wow. Unbelievably good.
I've never seen it offered off the bone. I've never seen it in the supermarket with a bone. Yeah, it's always just served up staked.
24 ounces, cut off the bone, you know, serving for two. RPM Seafood down there on the river. Mm. It was, oh my god, it was so good. We overordered, so I have a little extra left over.
Sure.
For lunch today, but just, you had been talking about cooking up some swordfish, and I don't trust myself, or I've got to learn, and anything like that. I don't know, but I'd had it in San Diego once. I'd had it at another fancy restaurant in Chicago once, and this was, I think, my third time ever having swordfish, and it's just, I don't even know what to say. It's like, it doesn't really taste like fish. It doesn't taste like chicken. It doesn't taste like steak. Like, swordfish is kind of just its own thing. It's so
good.
Well,
it is the steakiest fish there is. I don't think you can eat a fish that's chewier. I mean, I guess if you if you're talking about squid or something like that, octopus, but has a better chew to it. I mean, a good one, not rubbery, but a good chew to it. The consistency of swordfish, much closer to steak. How did they season it at RPM Seafood, which I have got to put on my hit list and take care of?
Okay, so I don't remember exactly, but it was awesome.
Was it savory? I mean, I assume it
was savory. It was like a little lemon and like some olive oil and then some sort of green, like charcuterie is the wrong word, but like,
man, that sounds good. A big piece of swordfish steak with cheese and crackers on top of it.
Not charcuterie.
All right. Hold on. Hey,
scallions? Are you looking for the word scallions?
I am not, but I have.
Come on, chives. I'm going there in less than a month. I need to know what.
I bet he's looking for chives or scallions. All
right, hold on. I'm going to send this to the show chat right now. I took a picture of the old leftovers with
shallots?
The king crab mac and cheese.
Shallots.
because it was so good. I mean, it was a little disappointing because of COVID. There was no lobster on the menu. It's a reduced menu right now. So lobster,
your
again,
lobster and Bernstein's bread. Oh, that does look good. Those are chives, right?
Are they chives?
Yeah, they're chives. Put them on the internet, and I bet people will tell you they're chives. Chris, don't you think those are chives?
Hang on, blah, blah, blah. I'm checking right now. Look at this. Yeah. Okay.
For those of you who can't actually see the text we're looking at.
I'm just saying. Someone says, oh, wow, like what a relatable conversation, talking about decadent swordfish. All right, we're not going for most relatable here. I'm just telling you, you know, what type of escapism I've been enjoying recently. And last night, it was swordfish for two, trying to consume it for one.
Did you crop this picture before you sent it to us? Is this cropped, like, and zoomed in, or is this how you take your food photos?
Well, it was just, it's in a mass of chaos, like, around my desk.
Chaos?
And, like, works.
It sounds unpleasant.
No, there's just a lot of stuff, like, around here, so I tried to just get the food. I didn't think that you needed to see, like, the pile of crap on the workstation or, like, the family photo in the background. So I tried to get up close and personal to the green stuff on the swordfish. You'd like another picture, Tanny? Would you like portrait mode?
I'd like a better picture if I have to look at this garbage here. Come on.
You'd like a better picture.
The chefs did a good job preparing this meal. They deserve a better photo here.
Well, okay, Texters are suggesting it sounds like a chimichurri sauce. Including a chef in Rockford. Thank you for checking in, chef.
Yeah, that checks out. That sounds
okay.
That sounds right. I should remember, but I don't. So, you know, but I can pull up the menu here. But I'm just saying, moral of the story is it was a very impressive meal, and I had never had swordfish prepared in this way. Here we go. Bone-in swordfish ribeye, coriander, and herb oil. What is coriander? C-O-R-I-A-N-D-E-R.
Seasoning of some type, obviously.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we're doing this. It's a plant. It's an annual herb.
Well, we could talk about Ron Rivera not taking care of his responsibilities in getting the Redskins team name changed. Oop, there it is. I said it. It slipped.
I think you're allowed
to. I'm trying not to because I was called some horrible things the other day by some of our listeners who texted.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I didn't
silly.
Say it yesterday, nor did you, nor did he when we had him on, and we had him on for 20 minutes. I don't believe he said the word once, did he?
He did. He said it. He said it in Tanny's Open at 2:00.
Big fan of Tanny's Opens, I am.
Yeah. Oh, Mac and I were gabbing away about our White Sox during the Open.
Yes, really? The Open's playing, and we're working our bets. We got angles for you Cubs fans.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, I want some competition. Listen, you're not a racist if you. Oh, you just immediately onto the social media with my swordfish. Okay, yeah, I like it. So it's right there on social media. But yeah, it's you're not a racist if you say it. It's just a question of what he stepped in a little bit. And again, Ron Rivera is a good, decent man in a tough spot being asked a question. I don't think anyone thinks he has malicious intent behind it. But when he says it's not the time, it's like, okay, well, when is the time? Like, it's a very obvious pushback. It's a very obvious criticism, and I think it's a fair one. So I think that is what is why his quotes are kind of making the rounds, if you will. And because somehow, guy's been the coach in D.C. for months and hasn't been asked.
Right.
I don't really understand that from the D.C. media. Like, how is that not?
Has he not done a show there yet? I can't imagine he hasn't found his way onto one of their sports talk shows, especially during a pandemic. They haven't had national games to talk about. They haven't had, you know, the Washington Wizards or the Capitals. That's all been put on hold. What the hell else would they be talking about? Why wouldn't Ron Rivera have been on the radio? I think that might be speculation on Florio's part. Does he know for a fact nobody has asked him about it?
There were no quotes that I found when I was researching the interview that he was coming on. There was an article that had said after the mayor of D.C. just the other day said, you know, there's a racist team name in town. And the article noted that Ron Rivera had not been asked about it yet. And it was a D.C. publication. So, you know, I can't find any quotes on it. But, I mean, you don't have to go on a radio show. The guy meets the beat reporters for the team. Like, he's... he's done plenty of media. So I think that's what it was. It's just it's making the rounds because of the times in which we're living in and the fact that the new coach of the team, who happens to be a minority, had somehow, some way, never been asked about it before. And so, you know, Cam Newton was in the news. And you put that into the news stream, you're gonna be everywhere. Apparently, we were at, you know, ESPN, Bleacher Report, all over the Pro Football Talk, a couple of stories about it. But I don't really see anyone being overly critical of Ron Rivera because they know that he's in a tough spot. Some criticisms here and there, but he's a big boy. He can handle it.
Yeah, that's the owner's responsibility. The owner's the guy who can do anything. You can, you know, just like we were, we Kevin Costner reminded us in draft day when he told the fictional owner of the Browns, Anthony Molina, you're the owner. You can change the helmets if you want to. Daniel Snyder can do that. He can change the colors. He can change the team name. It's on him. I don't know why people expect the head coach to be the guy, right? Because he's a minority. That's his risk. That's on him. I guess that's sort of what the implication is from some people I get. Florio's been, here we go, another bad analogy, beating the drums for this a lot lately. He has. I don't know if he's getting bored or what, but this seems to be his thing right now.
Well, Florio responded pretty strongly to Ron Rivera, so we can listen to that coming up. I don't think it's on Ron Rivera. I certainly do not feel that way at all. But we talked about it briefly yesterday after the conversation. He is the spokesman for the football team, and Dan Snyder wasn't on the show. Like, if Dan Snyder was available for an interview, trust me, I'd ask him the question too. But it does feel like it's a matter of time before that conversation landed at Ron Rivera's feet because of his position with that team in 2020, in a time when a lot of symbolic progress is being made. And he was not surprised by the question. He was not unprepared for the question.
No.
I bet you he's surprised that he hasn't been asked it yet, frankly.
That's probably the case. He might be a little surprised by some of the, I guess, would you call it backlash today? I read Florio last night on Pro Football Talk. I would describe that as an unfavorable review of the head coach's opinion. That there are more facts. If we want to let facts be entered into the conversation, it is worthy of noting. And I'm not saying I'd change. It probably is time for the name to change. Yes, I support that. But there is the fact that leaders of Indian tribes, Native Americans in the 18th and 19th centuries, referred to themselves in a proud manner as red men or redskins. And that's undeniable. There are quotes. You can look at the quotes. You can look at the quotes of the Native American who designed the logo. He was quoted in a Washington Post article that ran just 18 years ago. Logo was created in 1972. Honoring somebody from that part of the country who was a Native American who was proud to be on the team's logo, and there was never a stir over at the time because everybody thought it was done in a dignified manner, and nobody who was of Native American heritage objected to being referred to as red men. That's what they called themselves many years ago. It just strikes me at first blush as it's creepy to me. It is. The sound of it in this century is creepy, and that's why I am for a change. But I think we have to defer to people who might be offended, because you and I are not Native Americans. We're not Indians, so we...
I thought, like, I remember when Bob Costas did the commentary on Sunday Night Football around it, because there was so much discussion and blowback on it when Washington was playing in the game, and Costas has said in many interviews since, you know, people said, oh, Bob Costas always injects politics into football. He said, I did about 120 essays on Sunday Night Football, and you could make the argument that two of them were political, the one on the Washington football team name and then the one after Jovan Belcher's murder-suicide on gun culture with pro athletes and its relationship to football. And when he did the one on the team name, he said he cited five different dictionaries who all referred to the term as either a slur or slang, five for five. And so I always remembered that and was like, okay, well, there's kind of an open and shut case for what it is. And then, yeah, you do more research and some people say it is a slur and some people say it isn't within the Native American community. So this isn't for me to judge what, or it's not for me to judge. I can have my opinion on it, but like it isn't offensive like to my people, my experience, anything like that. So all I can do is listen and be empathetic. Like you, the name strikes me as kind of ridiculous in 2020, but we will see what happens. Like I said to you yesterday, my guess is that that one changes. Like my guess is it changes. I don't know if it changes this year, next year, or whatever, when Ron Rivera is still the coach there, not that he's the one who will do it, but it feels to me like that one's going to change, and I still maintain this is the time for the conversation. Like, that is the only yes. thing that like I can definitively say about it from my own experience, that it's a good thing to have the conversation about what is and isn't appropriate to people who have been disenfranchised in this country. It's a good time to have some sort of reckoning about that. And I would say, if not now, when? We can play Mike Florio's response. And I want to know, how are me and Shep going to lose some money when the Cubs just mail in this season and the White Sox go 42-18? So if you've got some prop bets you want to run by us, we'll do it. It's Mac and Park. It's on the
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Score. I've yet to see any evidence that those yahoos that were dumb enough to film the Bengals sideline had any connection whatsoever to football operations.
Those yahoos.
There's yo-yos everywhere.
Yeah, go with yo-yos. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what is he?
Bob will be here at 4 to straighten that out. Yahoos.
Yahoos? Like, Mike Florio's a product of the internet.
I've yet to see any evidence that those yahoos that were dumb enough to film the Bengals sideline had any connection whatsoever to football operations.
Does he not know what the word Yahoo is? What is he? What is that?
I don't know. Maybe he was thinking something a blank.
Okay.
There's yo-yos everywhere.
Yep.
Yo-yos and
there's yahoos. Yo-yos and yahoos and yeah, they're everywhere. They're out what, there, thicker than flies.
What a weird thing. So Ron Rivera comes on the show and makes some national news, both about the name of his football team and about Cam Newton. Mike Florio had two posts up pretty shortly after the interview was done. Everyone is starved for content these days at Pro Football Talk. And then he was on for his weekly conversation with Dan Bernstein. And you said you read it and you felt he went pretty strong. Oh, he's on Mully and Haw.
Mully
My
and
apologies.
Haw today, right.
My he, apologies.
Yeah, he does both shows. Today it was with Mully and Haw.
I apologize to Mully and Haw, who I heard talking about our conversation with Chico yesterday, and we appreciate them for doing that. But here's Mike Florio going pretty hard on Ron Rivera.
Well, look, I mean, he signed on for that name when he took the job. If he had an issue with the name, then you look for another place to be a head coach. Now, you want to be a head coach, and the opportunity is there. And so that's part of what you do, and that's part of the compromise you make, and that's just the reality. There's only 32 of these jobs out there, and he wanted another one, and he was a great choice by the franchise. But I think he meant not narrowly now isn't the time, as in afternoon radio in Chicago. I sense that whether it's the NFL and Colin Kaepernick or Washington and the team name, there's an effort to just run out the clock until those who are clamoring for something more substantive move on to something else. And then if and when attention gets refocused on the name, there'll be another excuse. Now, at least he didn't go with the knee-jerk reaction that my understanding is he and others in the organization have relied on, which is the 2016 Washington Post poll, which I think is inherently flawed, showed that 90% of self-identifying Native Americans aren't offended by the name. That poll has been questioned repeatedly. It's been undermined by subsequent polling. There was a study posted on the Cal Berkeley website where Ron Rivera went to school that shows that the more active Native Americans are in tribal rituals and the more they closely identify with traditional Native American identity and behavior, the more offended they are by the name. So at least he didn't go with that right out of the gates, but I didn't like the response. And I understand he's in a tough spot, but you know, he recently said he's been tasked with leading the organization and he believes actions speak louder than words. Well, once you make that kind of blanket proclamation, you're telling everyone, if you mean what you say, that you do have the power to make a difference. You do have the ability to go into the owner's office and say, hey, Dan, now's the time to change this name. And it doesn't mean he has to threaten to quit, right? And if he gets fired, people are like, oh, he doesn't want to get fired. Well, if he gets fired, he gets all of his money. You can't fire a guy for cause because he comes out and says, you know what, this is probably a good time to change the name of the team. So I was disappointed by it because I was hoping that maybe he would be more open to the concept, but it seems like he just wants to turn the page and talk about something else. During that time frame that he sent that email that did kind of broadly invite employees to raise anything that they may think of that could potentially advance the cause of social justice in this moment, there were efforts behind the scenes by people in the league, not in the league office, but people who work in the business, to try to persuade Ron Rivera to take up this fight. Now, those efforts have since ended unsuccessfully, but there has been an attempt, my understanding is, to get his attention and to get him focused on this. And I thought when I saw that email, hey, this is his way of opening the door to building some sort of an internal organic push that will be more likely to get the attention of ownership than people on the outside. Because anybody who owns or operates a business resents people who aren't in that business telling them how to run the business. That's just human nature. If you can build something that bubbles up from within the walls of the organization, it's harder to deny that. Now, maybe it's a work in progress. Maybe he's just being circumspect and careful and he's willing to kind of take the fall for now while he tries to work on something internally that would ultimately result in change. But look around. Look at the things that are changing. In the week that, as J.A. Adonde pointed out on Twitter yesterday, Mississippi ditches the Confederate flag from the upper left corner of its own flag, how is this not the time to have that conversation in this moment where we are trying to right the wrongs that have been hiding in plain sight for decades? How is this not the time? And when it's a dictionary-defined slur, and you know, so many people push back, well, Native Americans aren't really offended. Well, how do you know they're not really offended? Well, it's not for anyone other than Native Americans to comment on this. Well, wait a minute. It's a dictionary-defined slur. So I continue to hold out hope that something will happen, but we saw what they're doing with George Preston Marshall in D.C. They're going to be doing the same. If Dan Snyder ever does anything with that team that justifies him being memorialized with a statue or a monument or his name on the Ring of Fame, it's just a matter of time before he's getting the same treatment in the future that George Preston Marshall is getting now.
At least at the end, he puts it more on Snyder than Rivera, right? Because, I mean, when he, the thing that I disagreed most with what Florio said was like, well, if he gets fired, he gets all of his money. Yeah, but he doesn't want to get fired.
Right, you don't want that. You don't take the job just to get a big pile of money. He's invested in this thing, right.
And even if you do, like, he still, I assume, would rather coach the football team than not coach the football team.
Such a sophomoric comment, wasn't it? I expect better from a varsity letterman than what he just offered there. Come on, Florio. What are you saying? Well, if he fires him, he gets all his money. Oh, boy.
I thought by the end he did put the onus on Snyder correctly, which is where it should be. Like, I think by the end, I was agreeing with him. At the beginning, I thought that he was somewhat, like, the acknowledgement of him being in a tough spot on the show, fine, fair enough. I still think the question is fair. But the idea that Rivera would just get fired for that cause when it's not his issue, that's not realistic. Mike Florio wouldn't get fired for that cause. You wouldn't get fired. I wouldn't get fired for that cause. You know what I mean? Like, that's just
right.
That's not. It's a very utopic thing to say. Like, oh, we're all that noble, and we all would fall on that sword. Really?
Yeah.
So should Chase Young refuse to be drafted by that team? Should Dwayne Haskins demand a trade? Like, that's not a reasonable expectation for people to have, to be willing to lose their job when there is a scarcity of those jobs for that cause. That's not reasonable.
Utopian, I believe.
I always say utopic.
Yes,
I like utopic.
It sounds like it makes sense, right?
Yeah, I have no idea if it is.
That's a very complicated language we have, this English.
Is it not a word?
Utopic?
Is it straight? Is you?
Boy, I'm a holder. I really need to put the microphone back in the stand because typing one-handed is such a pain in the ass. I'd much rather hold the microphone and just walk around in my office and stare outside at the birds and the trees, but I'm on it.
Is utopic a word? Utopic. An adjective. Another term for utopian.
Bingo.
A utopic vision.
I would use it all the time and thumb your nose at those like me who attempted to correct you.
I feel like that works, right?
I feel like a yahoo.
Yeah. A bunch of yahoos over here.
Those yahoos.
You disagree with Mike Florio? Send him a note. MikeFlorio@yahoo.com.
I like that. That's very well done.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like it.
Mac and Parkins on the score. Oh, wait, no, we're doing two segments.
Yeah, pay attention to the
text messages as we go here.
Hey, lay off them. It's always good to reset to let people know.
Yeah,
Ron Rivera was in a tough spot with you guys. So.
Oh, man. That potentially got real dicey there for a second. Shep, what is that you're texting the group chat? You're under attack? You got stung?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
what is that?
No, that's luckily didn't get stung. Just walking through the living room and like, what the hell is on the floor? And like, I look up and I'm like, I don't know, 10 feet away. I'm like, is that a grasshopper? That thing looks like the size and the width of a grasshopper. Get up close. I'm like, nope, that's a yellow jacket. That thing's going to kill me. So did the heroic thing that a father like myself can do. Protected my child. Got the paper towel out and killed the little son of a bitch.
Whoa! Okay, nice. So you took that. So that's a yellow jacket.
It's a wasp.
Or wasp, yellow jacket. Is there a difference?
Yeah.
Danny Parkins, animal expert.
Yeah, Danny, go ahead. Take a whack at this one.
Well, Dan.
Thank goodness we're not going to a break right now like Danny thought. We're just going to go through all of the texts that we've sent each other throughout the last 24 hours.
As everyone knows, the difference between the wasp and the traditional yellow jacket is the length of the stinger. They're from the same family of poisonous flies, but a yellow jacket has more speed but a less of a stinger, whereas a wasp, it's a little bit more poisonous. It's a slower flyer, but if you get stung by a wasp, it's a more of a dire, complicated three technique type of situation, and so that's
Vince Wilfork's involved in it.
That's the, yeah, exactly. That's the main difference between a wasp and a yellow jacket. Did that sound
all right.
good?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Mac?
Wasps are very slight, actually. There's not much to them. They're not as imposing as some other insects that will fly and sting you, but that's the exact same insect that's gotten me three times in the last 4 years. The one that Shep sent, and that's when I saw it dead. I assumed it got him and he killed it in anger.
No, Shep,
this 09 Shep, he responded, you know, in kind. So what you're saying is I was the exactly wrong about wasp and yellow jacket there. I had it exactly wrong. That's the differences between the two. Okay.
It was a hell of an effort, though. That's really all that matters.
Fake it till you make it, baby.
That's right. No, I was not expecting
great.
To go to the living room and see that.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got it out of the house. Yeah, make sure there isn't a nest of them nearby.
Oh, God, don't scare me like that. Hopefully my wife's not listening, because that'll be the next thing to do on the list.
You got a big to-do list these days?
Always. Are you kidding me? Never ending. Never okay. ending. Knock six things off of it, think you're accomplished, and there's somehow 16 more.
Texters are saying yellow jackets are wasps. I feel like I might be on some solid ground here. I'm not sure, but I'm not going to Google it again, because I'm already one for one with Utopic in this segment, and I don't want to.
Yeah, you're rolling.
I don't want to mess up my streak of being right, but fact checking it, one texter saying I'm right might just be good enough. But you said earlier that you have some things to tease us Cubs fans with from a Sox perspective. What tickles your fancy here when we're debating these two teams with 60 game seasons here for bets?
Let's discuss some wagers. We have two Cubs fans on the show, you and Shep, and we have two White Sox fans. Tanny and I are White Sox fans, so I think we should put something on the line. Ish, okay.
Yeah, don't forget Herb. Herb can slide in for Mac if need
Herb,
be.
Herb, yes, perfect. On those many perfect. Days. When I won't be here in the next 6 weeks, Herb can slide on in and give a present, someone who actually goes in a typical season. But we've talked about, was it Shep who suggested 10 or 11 bets? That seems a bit much for me. Why don't we come up with 7? Why don't we do a best of 7 on season? I think 7 props are enough, don't you?
It's all arbitrary to me, Mac. I'll gamble on anything. So if you want to do 9 for one spot on the diamond, you want to do 7, you want to do 10, you want to do 5, I'm your Huckleberry.
Okay.
If it's a good bet, if it's fair, like, look, why limit ourselves is basically what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. It seems like you get to be chasing your tail after a little while, and you're betting
well, yeah.
on some bizarre things. But, you know, right out of the gate, I would like to propose this, and we'll have to come up with something good for what the loser has to do. And because no one wins anything on this show. That's been our history, 2 years and change. You just lose.
That's right.
None of us want to part with a dollar. So there are only losers here. There are no winners, really.
Winning is just the absence of losing. That's
yeah,
right.
Just straight up wins. There's no handicap this year. I straight the numbers we've seen are what, 30.5, 31.5 total victories for both
yep.
the Cubs and for the White Sox. So let's just go head to head on wins for one of our bets.
I think that's an obvious one, and I think we could either do Eloy v. Schwarber homers or just home run leader v. home run leader if you don't want to nail it down to one player. But I'm fine doing either way. I think we should do one or the other. Like, if you want to include Encarnacion and Robert, you know, and then you want to include Bryant and Javi and Rizzo, like, however you want to do it. But I like the idea of trying to match up the top home run guys, but I'm with you. There's no spread on wins.
Yeah, no spread on wins. So there's our first one, wins. What I was thinking with home runs, and I can be persuaded, you can talk me out of this, but I was thinking about picking the best pair. And if you want to do two pair, that's fine. But Tanny and I have discussed which pair we'd like to offer. If you guys would be interested in going with your two most productive home run hitters, and then maybe we'll go, because we like our team when it comes to hitting the ball over the fence.
You should.
We absolutely love our chances at playing long ball this year. So
it's the only thing that we do well if we'd be playing at this point of the year.
Well, which two? Eloy and Abreu? Are those your two? Or are you taking Encarnacion? If you're looking for two, who are you taking?
You had it. I'm trying to jump by the way Tanny was describing Luis Robert last week, patrolling center field. His enthusiasm for Lou Bob is infectious. So I said, you want to throw Robert in there? And he said, no, probably should go with Eloy and Abreu. And if you want to pick your best two, we maybe do another pair of home runs, lesser players, because those are the two favorites, clearly, on our team. And, I don't know who you would consider your two favorites to be, Anthony Rizzo and who?
I mean, Schwarber, right? Like, with the DH?
Probably.
With the DH in the National League, yeah. And how he finished last season?
Ain't going to be Chris Bryant. You got too many dates against the Cardinals and Brewers. He can't hit himself out of a wet paper bag against those teams.
Not unless it's a 10-run game at the time.
Yeah, it's a question of motivation for the Cubs. Like, I'm very, very pessimistic about this Cubs team being cut out for a 60-game sprint. I hope I'm wrong. You know I'm normally optimistic, but I could see these guys being like, eh, screw it. Who cares? I really could see that with the
Whoa.
Cubs. But I know.
You think that 2 years left only on the core that's put together before huge moves could be made this offseason? If you're going to move Bryant, you move him before the trade deadline the last year of his deal. Like, you think that they walk into this unmotivated and just get me to the end of September and get me to my Florida home or wherever they may live?
It's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
Kinda, yeah. I do. I'm a little worried about it.
Wow. I see very few teams
under
in baseball that go with it. Yeah, there's going to be teams who would have gone into a 162-game schedule feeling like this is going to be an MF-er because we're not very good. That's not the case right now. You probably got 30 teams where there's a high percentage of guys who think they can, you catch lightning in a bottle early, get good pitching, you can win the damn thing. 34 wins get you in the playoffs.
I agree. All right, I'll lay out my concerns. You can tell me if I'm crazy for them coming up, and we'll keep working through some Cubs Sox hypotheticals. Roger Bossert at 3:30, Hub Arkish at 4 on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.